everyone, you're listening to the Kirk Landry Podcast, where we're going to help you discover your kingdom destiny. My name is Daryl, and sitting right beside me is Rabbi Kurt Landry. And in this episode, we're discussing the topic of heaven. What's it going to be like, and how often should we think and meditate on it? But before we jump into this conversation, Rabbi, how was your Wednesday? How are you feeling today? How was your weekend, man?
Hey, it's gone really good. You know, the thing that I do is, you know, we know like today we're going to talk about heaven and the spiritual awareness of it. So I'm actually going to share something that I've never shared before in my personal experience. So the way it works is I probably have to spend, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes just kind of remembering and digesting so that I can bring something fresh to the people. And I think one of the things I really enjoy about the podcast and you asking these questions and me being able to share with the audience is the takeaway for me is I actually kind of go back into the remembrance of what you've asked me to speak about, and I'm reliving the joy, the lessons, and the intimacy with the Lord as I go there. So it's actually been a very healthy, you know, I've never done a podcast like this where I'm very transparent. So it's actually bringing some real joy to me to be able to share. So today was great.
Yeah. You know, that's been a lot of the response that we've gained first from our own staff that we've got. You know, Kirk Landry Ministries has a lot of people helping us do the mission here. And their response so far has been really good. We've gotten a lot of good questions in. We've gotten a good response across social media. And so, you know, I mean, obviously we want to throw it out there into the market and just kind of see what people have to say about it. But I think so far, Rabbi, it's been a really type of transparent piece of content that you've done.
Yeah, well, thank you. I've enjoyed it, and I'm really hoping for the people that are listening to this that they can share it, but also cherish what's being done, because I'm really trying to bring it from a download out of heaven type. Not that everything I'm doing is prophetic, but I'm hoping that it's inspired of the Holy Spirit.
All right, so let's jump into this episode. Obviously, the topic is about heaven. Rabbi mentioned it. I talked about it jumping into this episode. And so let's just do a couple different layers, and then let's jump into your personal encounter and story that you haven't shared before. Super excited for you to jump into that. But let's just start with this. What will heaven be like?
Well, I'm going to share a personal experience I had. I actually went to heaven. I didn't die. It was really an out-of-body spiritual experience. I've only had one in my life, and this be the one I'm sharing with you. But my experience in heaven is if I could sum it up, a surreal detail to every individual there to experience their real created self. And so what I mean by that is, like, God creates each one of us. He knows the hair of our head. And yet, what happens is we come to earth and we basically lose that creativity, or what that is, through different experiences in life, traumas and marketing and influence of other people. So what happens is when you arrive in heaven, you actually go back to what you were conceived for. It's kind of a full circle. And then the love of God and the approval of how he created you for, there's a level of shalom. In Hebrew, shalom means nothing broken, nothing missing. There's an acceptance and an approval, a free of worry, of just being able to receive the intimacy of God's love. And so that, you know, people talk about streets of gold and the river of life and different things. All of that is there. I'll share my experience. Mine was more located actually at my mansion, of what, you know, the Lord says he goes to prepare a place. my visitation was not all over heaven. It was actually to that location. And we'll share in a minute why. But the takeaway is being at total peace, total health, and being able to embrace the extreme love that God has created you for, with absolutely no rejection or all the things we experience. And I can't explain it to you, but I can say it this way. It's not something that I'm afraid of, to die. That, after this experience, it got like totally removed. You know, we do things like, we just came from Israel and we were actually right on the Gaza border where all the violence took place. And while we were there, it was during a ceasefire. The next day, three rockets came in and hit the actual location where we were at. And so people say, well, why do you and Christy, weren't you afraid? Mm-hmm. And we're not. And one of the reasons I'm not has a lot to do with what I'm going to share, because I do know where I'm going. So there's nothing to be afraid of, because
it's the type of peace that comes over you.
Yeah, and I think I carry that peace wherever I go, because even when I was with the soldiers there, they ask, they say, why do you have so much peace? Why? And I share with them, I said, because, you know, my time and my life is in the Lord's hand, but if it's over, I'm going to a better place. Now, we say that, but I actually experience that to where it removes complete fear of any kind of death.
So when did this happen? Was it years ago? Was it, you know, is that something you're okay with sharing?
Yeah, it was probably about 10 years ago. I'd have to go in my journal. I didn't bring that. But yeah, it was about 10 years ago. And the thing that was interesting about it was in a time of, you know, fasting and praying. And I was really seeking the Lord. And I basically just got, is what they call, caught up in the spirit. So, you know, I was sitting in a chair and I've been praying and seeking the Lord about some things. And I basically had an out of body experience. I basically left my conscious state of my physical body in the chair. And I actually was, I actually went into heaven. And so it's not like a vision. It's only happened to me once. I wish it would happen again. It was one of those things where one minute you're sitting in the chair and the next minute you are literally, I'm standing in front of, and I know is my mansion or my house. It actually wasn't that big. And I'll go into that as you ask the questions. I mean, it was big, like square footage wise, I'd guess. When I say not that big, that's all subject to people's life experiences. But doesn't make any difference. It wasn't like a giant house, but it was the detail of the house. And so when I was there, so to say, my guide was Jesus. Jesus was standing to the right of me, and but I knew he was there. I could see him in my peripheral, like when I got saved in the bathtub. I knew he was there, but in this experience, I never like looked him in the eye, or it was like he was taking me, and it was like we'd translate, like we'd go from the front of the house into the house, and he was showing me, this is what I've prepared for you. And so it was almost like a guided tour, but it had a much deeper meaning than just looking at a house in heaven.
Yeah. So what more detail can you recall? You know, I mean, like, did you, when the experience was over, did you get your journal out and start trying to jot down? I mean, kind of like we talked about in the dreams episode, was this something that you had an initial plan or reaction to try to recall?
Yeah. So let me just do a little bit of background. When I was younger, I used to love to watch Bonanza, okay? And my family didn't like Westerns. I loved Westerns, you know, and that's part of me being adopted. My adoptive family didn't like Westerns. My DNA and my biological later, I found out, loved Westerns. In fact, my biological father had a ranch in West Palm Beach and raised Pasifino horses and quarter horses and things like that. So anyway, so it was in my DNA. But when I was really young, I would watch Bonanza, and I was raised in Los Angeles, and I didn't like the city. I never liked the city. I always liked being out in the woods. I liked being in nature, which was hard to do. You had to travel a long distance. So I used to say this when I was a kid. I used to say, when I get old enough, I'm going to leave here. I'm going to leave Los Angeles, and I'm going to go where Little Joe lives, which is Bonanza, which is Lake Tahoe. So I would say that when I was like 10, 12 years old. And when I was 18 and a half, I left Los Angeles and I moved to Lake Tahoe. And that's where I met Christy, was in Lake Tahoe. So I say that to you. I love houses with big wood beams, logs, huge rocks, big. I like that rugged cabin, rock, all of that type of thing. I mean, that's my thing. I'm not into like this marbly mansion, you know, pillars. That's not my thing. I like that rugged thing. So the first thing that happened when I had this out-of-body experience, here's this house. And the other thing is, I don't like super big houses. I like a big size house. But I'm saying I don't like 10 or 20,000 square foot houses. I've got friends that have houses like that. And I feel like I'm at a resort it's not homey. You know, it's too big. It's like, you know, you got to have an intercom and you have to call on the cell phone to the other side of the house if someone's there. That doesn't work for me. Even if I had unlimited resources, I would never live in a 20,000 square foot mansion like these sports guys do. It's not who I am. You know, I'm comfortable with. So the house wasn't super big. So I want to say this to you, Daryl. What really happened in the takeaway from this in the house, and we'll go into the details in a minute, is everything that I knew I really liked in my identity of how God created me, everything was down to the finest detail in this house. The finest detail. I'll give you an example. The first place we went was into the entryway. So we didn't walk up the steps. We went from looking at the outside of the house, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I felt so much love because the outside of the house had large overhangs on it and big thick cedar. I love those big, thick, they don't do it anymore because of fire hazard, but cedar shake roof. And logs and big rocks, and it was just so awesome. It was just awesome. It wasn't in a neighborhood. It was just out by itself, so it had space around it. Beautiful green, beautiful landscaping. But the next thing you know, we went into the house, and I'm standing there, and I'm standing on top of glass, and under the glass is water, and there's saltwater fish. So when I was a kid, I always had. At one time, I had 5 fish tanks in my room, and they were freshwater. We couldn't afford the salt water at the time, but I loved fish. I loved to scuba dive. To this day, I still love diving and snorkeling. So when I'm standing there, in the mind of Jesus, Yeshua, he said, what do you think of your entryway? And I'm standing, and underneath the entryway of the glass is coral and saltwater tank fish. And he said, I did this for you. And just it caused me to break. He said, we're just in the entryway. He said, I did this for you because you've always loved the ocean and you've always loved the fish. And he says, it's part of you. So I wanted everyone who walks into your mansion to know and experience that this is part of who you are, that you love this, the water, the fish, the ocean. You love the things. I actually think the world is more beautiful under the water than above. And it's beautiful above. But if you ever dive in really beautiful, clear water, it's almost, it's so beautiful. It's just amazing, the fish. And so here, this is in the entryway. There's no stairs in the house. That you just kind of like, it's a gradual climb, like a path, and you go up to, it was three stories, and you go up to the different places. From the third story down to the second story was a water slide. But yet it was a slide you could get on, and you would slide down, but you wouldn't get wet. It was just, that's, if you came down from the third floor, you would slide down, because he says, I know you like to play in the water slide. So just, you know, it's, I took my grandkids yesterday out to the playground, and so I had all three of them by myself, which is quite amazing. So from a year and a half, 4 and 8, and they were not going to be happy until Saba went down the slide. But the thing is, I want to go down the slide. I still like it. And so in this house, there was a slide. So, and the view, I like good views. So the views, it was glass, so much glass, huge windows. And I like glass leaded. I like leaded glass. And everything was leaded. And there were, olive leaves and branches and just tremendous detail in it. After I toured the house, I don't want to go into all the details. It doesn't matter. But the point was the interaction between the Lord and me was, I want you to see that, and I want you to tell my people. And this is the first time I've told it. It's probably been longer. If Christy was here, she said, that was 20 years ago. I mean, I don't mean to be deceptive. But the point is, I had an encounter, and I was overcome with the love of God and the detail for a human being, which happened to be me. And it wasn't just me. I mean, there was other houses around. But the detail of before you were corrupted by the world's, and it doesn't need to be evil, but before you were told what to like, what to wear, what to purchase, what to strive for, before all that, when you were just pure, your house is a reflection of your true identity of who you are. And the love, when it says, the scripture says it, and the hairs of your head are numbered, that's what he's talking about. I mean, there was like this, I really like big molding, and the molding was all hand carved and with different, things in it. It was just so not ornate, but just detailed. So the detail of everything was how much he knows me. He created me, he knows me, and the reward of heaven is what he wants to know when I say I go to prepare a place for you. He's really saying, I know you better than you know you.
Podcast at curtlandry.com. You can send your questions in to that email inbox. So Rabbi, I guess to our question, and I'll ask you the question first, and then let's answer it generically from a base level for everyone else listening. How often do you think about that encounter and meditate on it?
I don't know that I think on that encounter, the actual encounter, I would say maybe once or twice a month, maybe. But the scripture says, don't lay up your treasures on earth where they'll rust and the moths will eat it, but lay up your treasures in heaven. So where it's practical and applicable for me is, I can tell you with every decision I make, every dollar I spend, every investment I make, that encounter really catapulted me into trusting the Lord's love for me. And so because of that, I honor him to say, you say, don't lay up your treasures in heaven. So there's decisions that I make, and I don't know if I can convey it, but I may make a choice to, I'll just be transparent. I'll give you an example. I lost something, and Christy lost something of ourselves going to Israel and going through the war areas. It cost us something, emotionally, probably physically. You have to understand that, you know, we've lost 9 commanders in just a few weeks. So, and these are people, these are our people. They're young. We're old. I know I'm not that old. But when you're losing people who are under 25, I'll give you an example. The young Jewish boy, he was French. You were there filming at Hebron, and we interviewed him about my book. We lost him. He was the one sitting in the middle to the right when I was doing the interview there at the military base. So anyway, to say the Lord said, I want you to go, and Christy and I agreed. We know we were going to go, but we were going to lose something of ourself. It wasn't good for our souls to go there. So the whole concept is this. You'll recover the reward in heaven. This will be something that if you do this, there'll be a reward in heaven. And the reward in heaven is this. When you go to heaven, now this didn't happen to me, but I know it works like this. When you go to heaven, I believe everybody that you've ever affected and led to the Lord, you're going to meet. I believe they literally come up, and I've heard reports of people who went to heaven, and they'll come up and say, because you sowed this seed, I'm here. Because you did this. What it really felt like for us, with all the soldiers, you know, all the books that we've done, given them, and all the help, I believe there's going to be a revival amongst Israelis and the Jewish people. And I believe we deposited prayers and love that maybe they didn't get saved on our trip, but they will. It was one of those things where you just had to do it and then trust the Lord for the result. And, you know, some people till the soil, some people plant the seed, and some people water and some harvest. I believe we were planting seeds on that trip, and I knew it, but I also knew it was going to cost us. It was bad timing for us, and physically, everything wasn't good, everything was off, but the Lord said, go, and we did. The strength to make that decision for both she and I was, we're laying up seeds and treasures in heaven for the future. So I think, I don't know if that answers your question, but that experience allows me to say, okay, what I do may not show fruit now, or it may not even prosper me now, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to have treasures in heaven. And when you see the detail, it's not the mansion, but when you see the detail of the love of God to restore everything that you ever lost when you get there, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, so I was telling you off air that, you know, I mean, for people listening, they probably don't know, but I grew up Church of Christ, right? And so, you know, there's not a lot of nuggets. I don't think I really took that stick with me at this point that I say from a faith aspect, like practical, that I really try to implement and find difficulty with it. But something that stuck with me probably 10 plus years ago, maybe longer, maybe like 15 plus, but I heard a pastor say one time about encouraging people to spend 5 minutes each day to think about heaven, because it could impact you know, the way that you dream, the way that you daydream, and the way that you would go throughout your day, hopefully, as you meditate on the rewards of heaven and what it would feel like. You know, I'm going to pull one from that book. How do you think people should take an idea like that and say, hey, I want to try to make it practical because maybe I'm going through a lot of pain, a lot of struggle, a lot of trials right now, and I'm trying to get on the other side, and maybe this could be something like, as a Christian, they could find a inner peace or a emotion of feeling spiritually connecting to what that reward's going to be like. What's some practical advice that you would give on that?
Well, first of all, whoever that pastor was, I agree with that because it's a trained skill. The reason that I put together the program Goals to Grow is because what it does, my corporate background is in the behavioral sciences. So I understand from unsaved corporate guy the power of what the Bible says, as a man thinks, so he is. So what happens is your subconscious mind needs to know that death and failure has no power over you. So when you take steps of risk by faith, you need to know you're either going to be rewarded here on earth or you're going to be rewarded in heaven. So for heaven to become real, like the pastor was saying to you or in that message and you were listening, is you have to kind of have to meditate on that. And the veil between this life for a believer and heaven is a very thin veil. From the time you take your last breath on earth and your spirit leaves your body, there's no measurement. It's not like, well, 4 seconds. It's there's no measurement. You are instantly with the Lord. And so for anybody who's lost somebody, particularly if you lose a child, you know, especially like a miscarriage or a young child, which is extremely difficult to mentally go through. And this message is for you. That baby is going to be matured and waiting on you when you come. I'll even say it this way. Some of you made mistakes. Some of you've had abortions. Those aborted babies are going to be waiting for you. And they're not going to be bitter. They're not going to be angry. You know, Daryl, when I was reconnected to my biological father, one of the first things he said to me was, he was broken, and he said, you know, he said, you mean you're not mad at me? And I said, no. And, you know, but he was so afraid that when we reconnected that I'd be like holding resentment. Mm-hmm. And it's not who I am. And so the Lord gave me a word for him. And we were in the hotel there in Palm Beach. We just had a big dinner, and we're with his girlfriend at the time, who became his wife later. But we're in the hotel room, and he was sitting on the bed, and he says, well, why don't you want to just punch me in the nose because I abandoned you? And I said, the Lord's given me a word for you. And he knows who I am. I told him, you know, it's very transparent. I'm a man of God. I'm a prophet. This is what we do. And he accepted all that. He's totally not saved. And the word was this. The Lord used you as my father to produce the seed. But the Lord used my dad, my adoptive father, for a deed. So you produced the seed, my dad produced the deed, and I needed both. I needed your DNA and the discipline and the love of my dad to be who I am today. And then the benefit, the scripture says, when your mother and father have forsaken you, the Lord thy God will take care of thee. So what happened is I'm totally at peace with your DNA. Now we're reunited. Ray Landry's is my dad. He's the one that took me to baseball. He's the one that took me to Boy Scouts. You know, he did all those things. He raised me right. And then God, because I was forsaken, he took care of me. So I had three dads. And I said, you're part of that. And he started to weep. And I said, you know, I really think the Lord brought us here tonight, this first night, so that you could be born again and confess the goodness of the Lord to bring us back together. And he said, I want to do that. He literally got off the bed, got on his knees. I knelt next to him. I held his hand. He put his head over on my shoulder, and we prayed the sinner's prayer.
And that's powerful.
I mean, it's so, God's ways aren't our ways. But in regards to the heaven, he's passed away, saved. Nana, his wife, Jewish, very upset when we tried to lead her to the Lord. She got saved. She's in heaven. My adoptive father, Ray, he got saved. He's in heaven. I've done all their funerals. I was the rabbi at every one of their funerals.
Special.
And yeah, and when Christy and I left the fruit business, which was very prosperous for us with that lifestyle, and we left it into ministry and left everything and went broke. That's how I learned biblical finance, which will be our next podcast. Just because you know how to do business doesn't know you do kingdom business. I found that out. But anyway, what happened to us was after we lost everything, when I made a promise to leave everything, the Lord said, if you'll do this, I'll save your whole family. I said, okay, that's worth it to me. I'm going to do this. I have to be obedient. So I left the fruit business, and I left a huge income, a built business. And I did the funeral for Christy's dad. I did the funeral for Christy's mom. My mom had already passed away. I did my biological, adoptive. My whole family has come to the Lord. As you know, Paul and Megan serve the Lord. Our kids serve the Lord. Our grandchildren, already two of them are saved.
Yeah, I mean, like the faithfulness has been rewarded.
Totally. And so kind of the whole heaven thing is, how do you do all those funerals because of that experience? I know when I say they're in a better place, I know it because I've been there. And we always joke about my biological dad. He was a real character, self-made multimillionaire from Palm Beach, so you can imagine. And we joke, this is just a joke in the family. We always say, yeah, you know, my mansion's in heaven. And then Grandpa Joe, he'll be out by the fence. he can hang his robe out on the fence because he barely made it in. It's not true, but
that's pretty good.
We joke about
it. Yeah,
and then Christy will say, yeah, her dad, Vernon, well, at least they're in. But obviously, it's not true. But it's a family joke. But we're just glad. What a reward. Listen, my wife prayed 3 years before I got saved. Isn't it amazing that one person's salvation and one person's prayer and all these people got saved? And our families to get saved, they were good people, but tough people, entrepreneurial, you know, business people, independent, not people that you're going to go and bring to church, you know, they're... Mm-hmm. Just kind of tough people, but they all got saved. And so I'm so thankful to the Lord that one day I'll cross over and they'll all be there. What a reward. You know, right now in the podcast, I have to say this. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I really believe this story, this thing's touching you. And I want to pray for you right now. I want you to do this from your heart. A lot of times people will say it's just this easy. It's really not that it's easy. It has to be sincere. And if this is touching your heart and you're tender right now, the power of life and death is in the tongue. You just need to say, first thing you need to say, Jesus, I need you in my life. You know, you need to enter into the courts with honor and thanksgiving and say, I need you. And just go ahead and just say it right now. It's Alice said. Say, Jesus, I need you in my life. But the problem is I'm an unrepented sinner. It's an issue. You can't cross that door and come into spiritual life without saying, Father God, I am that. And there's no shame in it. All of us have sinned and fallen short. Apostle Paul said that. You just need to say, I'm a sinner. And I'm not saying you're not going to sin again, but you just need to say, I'm a sinner, and I really desire to be saved by Jesus. Jesus, come into my life. I invite you in. I repent from my sins, and I need the Holy Spirit to abide in me. And I need to know that my name is not blotted out in the book of life. I need to know I have eternal life. I need to know what Rabbi Kurt's talking about, that if I die, that there's going to be a mansion for me, that you're preparing a place for me, that I don't have to walk in fear of eternal damnation. Father God, it's really my desire. I beseech you and ask you and that my name be in the book. I'd have to beg for it, but I long for it because I really don't want to go to hell. I know there's a hell, but hell is for sinners, and I'm not a sinner because I am asking you to remove my sins by the blood of Jesus and let my name be in the book. Holy Spirit, abide in me, train me, give me comfort, discipline, and I surrender to you. Lord, thank you for saving me today. In Jesus, in Yeshua's name, amen.
KurtLandry.com/goals2024. That is the download that you're going to want to get. KurtLandry.com/goals2024 is going to help you get on track, get to a proven plan. It's a free download, and it's never too late in the year to start planning out and achieving your goals. Also, podcast at KurtLandry.com. That's where you can send your questions to our email inbox. So this is pretty much the deep end, Rabbi. This is towards the end of this episode. Let's have a little fun with it as we kind of transition out of this episode for the listeners. Let's talk about what you think with some mysterious answers maybe that we'll get when we get to heaven. You know, something that I've been watching a lot of documentaries on, like, Egypt and the pyramids for some reason. Like, I find myself getting lost, like, really late at night on Amazon Prime. I guess the first question of that is, who do you think built the pyramids? And do you think we're going to figure that out in heaven?
Yeah, I don't know if you're necessarily going to, like, figure it out. I will say this. None of those things will matter, because there's such an all-consuming love, but then there's an all-consuming knowing how that works. And so I guess that would be the answer for me, is like, yeah, I don't think it's going to be on your priority that you're going to care about any of those things. No, even other issues in your life. I think what will happen is that, I don't know, for the people who have fallen in love with another human being, you know, isn't it amazing how, you know, you get in that stupid stage? You know, I know when I met Christy, I literally saw her in the parking lot of Harris Casino, Lake Tahoe, and the craziness stopped. It started. That was it. I'm serious. It was like, that was it. And, you know, and at that time I was unsaved and I was dating a lot of different people. I mean, it's a bunch of young people, and it's like a college campus, you know, there at the club. And I always said, if I ever met somebody I just really cared about, I have to leave there because it's not an environment for a relationship. So that's what happened. We met and we left. But oh my gosh, it was like other things I was thinking about, I didn't think about anymore because I was focused on her. And if you can take that and times it by 1,000, that happens in your mind in heaven. When I was in heaven at this mansion, I was overwhelmed by the detail of God bringing out the real me that I had forgotten and lost. And it was all there. And what it did was, he was saying, I love the way I made you. And I love having you here with me. So, I don't know. That would be my answer.
So, was it giants or did the Egyptians do it?
Oh, the Egyptians did it.
Okay. Well, listen, that's one mystery, yeah. Is there any other mysteries that, like, you're curious, you know, as we transition out?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Listen. I could go off on set. Listen, all this other stuff that's coming out right now, and between now and the return of the Lord, whenever that is, all this stuff, aliens, all that's distractions, okay? So I will say this, aliens are demons, okay? So I've done spiritual warfare for 33 years, and I've seen demons manifest, and aliens are demonic beings. So you can call them whatever you want, but they're spirits and they're ancient spirits. And so that's why Satan is trying to distract. Everyone's trying to distract with all this stuff. Were there Nephilim and giants and all those things? Yeah. Fallen angels had relationships with humans, and that's where Goliath, that's where they really are. That's why when you find the bones, those things are for real. And they're hybrids because of that. It's real. But these aliens and stuff, these are demonic beings that actually manifest in the natural, and they're finding the remains of them. But did the pyramids? Yeah. Man built those.
Okay. Yeah. You know, definitely worth maybe down the line, like, look into the Bible using scripture to like explain some of these things, I think would give a lot of people clarity. Plus, it's really fun for me to talk about.
I didn't know you were going to ask me. I'm just telling you.
No, it just hit me. Yeah.
It's not my expertise. It's not my thing. I'm just telling you, this whole podcast is for me to, I just share with you, like, how, listen, I see the stuff and I don't waste a lot of time with it because, like, when I see those ET things, and the different, you know, extraterrestrial stuff, I've also seen them in the demonic realm. So I know they're demons. So, but that's just for me, you know. I've been with demonized people, not demon oppressed, but possessed. So we could talk about that at another time. I've had to cast those demons out. I saw a young girl that weighed probably 115 pounds, you know, pick up a church chair, hold it straight out in their arms. And I'd venture to guess if you came to House of David, picked up one of our traditional church chairs, most of the men couldn't hold the chair out by the leg of the chair out straight. And she took it and hurled it at the intercessors. And she's like 115 pound, little, you know, 5'2" person. And anyway, where does she get that straight? It was a demon. She was demon possessed. And the Lord used me. The Lord said, if you can make contact with her, you can cast the demon out. And so I literally had to get on the floor, asked her if she trusts me enough. She let go of the arm of the chair, stuck her index finger out. I said, her name was Faye. I said, Faye, if you'll just touch the end of my finger and we'll agree in Jesus' name. She was a pastor's kid. She had been horribly molested in some situations and demon possessed. Put my finger out. Everybody was there standing back, was afraid. I literally was laying on the floor. And I said, if you'll just touch my finger, that means that you want to get free. Is there enough of you left to do it? She touched my finger. As soon as she did, I shouted out in Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus. It came out. She went flat. And the demon left. And the whole room changed temperature. Because while this was going down, the room was probably about 50 degrees. And it went back to, 68, whatever the room was in the sanctuary of the church. So I've seen all that kind of stuff. And it's real. And the great story about her is she actually went deaf, had to do sign language because of her serious abuse. She lost her hearing. And so I spoke a word to the church. I said, you'll know that when the Lord's getting ready to move in this church, I said, this girl, Faye, her hearing will be restored. And on that day, you'll know. So about a year passed. And after the year passed, I lost contact with her because some stuff happened. I wasn't going to that church anymore. And actually the church kind of got sideways with me, just to be nice. And they got sideways with me because I was praying for people and they were getting healed because I have the gift of faith and healing. And that didn't fit in that denomination. About a year later, I get a call at my house and, you know, the voice says, is this Kurt Landry? And I said, yes, who's this? And she said, it's this Faye. And
oh man,
I said, Faye? She says, Faye, you know, the one you prayed for. And I said, yeah. And I said, well, how are you doing? She said, I wanted to call you, tell you that I can hear. And I actually have a job and I'm the receptionist at the church answering the phone, the one that basically kicked us out because of the healing stuff. And so I had prophesied a year before when she got delivered. They called me at 1 o'clock in the morning, asked me to come down because they were doing an all-night prayer meeting and she came in and the thing manifested. So anyway, so she answered the phone. Now she answers the phone at the church. I don't know if she still does. That was years ago. But I had prophesied to them, she'll hear, and when she does, it will be a sign to you of what the Lord's doing. Well, the sign is that what we were doing was really God. So just want a little testimony.
All right, Rabbi, 30 seconds. What's your lasting thought of this episode?
Lasting thought of the episode, I think what the pastor that Daryl listened to, I would probably take a few minutes every day, go on your goals to grow and say, listen, I'm going to meditate on the things of above because every good and perfect gift comes from heaven above. Meditate on the goodness of God. Know that one day this too shall pass and you'll be with him. So that's probably a good thought to end at this podcast.
Podcast at KurtLandry.com. Send us your questions, your thoughts to our email inbox. Also, we'd ask you if you made it all the way to the end, hopefully you've loved this episode, just give us a rank, give us a review on Apple, Spotify, RSS, wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'd sure appreciate it. All right, Rabbi, it's going to wrap it up for this episode. Until next time.
Yep. If I don't see you here, I'll see you there. It's a new year and a new you. Have you ever wondered how to stay consistent with growing spiritually, but also winning and achieving your goals you have for yourself this year? Get your free download of My Goals to Grow by visiting KurtLandry.com/grow2024. That's KurtLandry.com/grow2024. I'll help answer questions like, where do I start? How do I walk in the Spirit? Or how do I do spiritual warfare? Or how do I believe that I'm more than a conqueror? Understanding that Matthew 6:33 positions us for success in this year ahead. That seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto us. The fruit of the Spirit is evident in his covenant. Know this, that if you can establish his covenant in your heart and in your mind, you will be successful this coming year. So get your free download for Goals to Grow 2024 by visiting KurtLandry.com/grow2024 or visit the show notes in this episode. There are some projects that really touch your heart. And this is interesting because our son-in-law, Paul Marcelino, his dad, Yochanan Marcelino, helped to produce this book. And the whole purpose of this book, Jerusalem Rising, is to be able to bring visual evidence that Jerusalem and Israel actually belongs to the children of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that this is the land of Isaac. And the miracle power, you know, they say that a picture is worth a thousand words, and this book captures that. So listen, I'm really blessed for a limited time, and while supplies last, you can get a 30% discount by entering the promo code of RISING. And so what you need to do is go to kurtlandry.com/rising, and you can be able to claim your discounted copy of Jerusalem Rising. So that's kurtlandry.com/rising. Get a 30% discount now while supplies last.
Hey, one more thing. After this episode, I would love for you to go and download and listen to another podcast on the One New Man Network, and that's called Generations at the Table with Megan Marcelino. This show is perfect for discovering how to grow your family in faith by knowing your Jewish roots. Megan breaks down all of her knowledge on how to unlock your family's kingdom destiny by honoring Yeshua. You can find her show on the One New Man Network on your favorite podcast app.